Sure. Yeah. Let's maybe bring it down a little. Good morning, good morning, good morning, Christ Church. It's good to see you today. Can we welcome all those tuning in online? Give them a round of applause. Hey, as Tina said, man, Thursday night was an awesome kickoff. Thank you for those who've been praying for it, for your support. God's doing just really special stuff in our church, and I don't want to take that for granted. I'm thankful to be part of what God's doing here. And Thursday was great, but I also want to celebrate something else with you. So many of you know, some of you might not know, but the reason we added a service, because God keeps growing our church, and our goal is to build a new facility. And for the last year, we started a new campaign. We've been raising money, and I want to tell you, 2 weeks ago, we crossed $600,000 being saved towards it. So we crossed the halfway point. So church, thank you for your generosity. We've got more to go, more to do. But as I was just reflecting on that, I read this scripture this week, and it's about the ancient king named Hezekiah, and he restores the temple, the ancient temple. But when it all happened, the Bible says this, "And Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced because God had provided for the people, for the thing came about suddenly." The thing came about suddenly. So it's like all this work, and then it just happened. And so I was like, God, I'm making that into a prayer for our new facility. So I want you to be praying for that, that God would just bring this about sooner than later, and God could keep using our church. But thank you for what you're doing. I want you to know God's using you. You're making a difference, and we're getting there, church. We're getting there. So let me pray. Father, we love you. I thank you just for every person here. I thank you for how you're working in their life. And Father, I pray today that you could help us to run our race well. You could help us, Lord, to know the path that you have for us and to go at it with all of our heart. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, several years ago, I hurt my back really bad. You know, kind of was like one of the first times I had an injury that really kind of messed me up. And I was down for a while, like standing hurt, just everything hurt. So I just pretty much did nothing but try and rest it. And it didn't really seem like it was getting better. And so one of my friends, he said, hey, my buddy is a doctor. And he went to Harvard Medical School. So this guy knows this stuff. And I was like, okay. He's like, why don't we talk to him about, you know, this injury that you have? And so I said, yeah, no, that sounds great. I'll, you know, sounds like a very knowledgeable guy. And so we went and we talked with him. And he said, hey, what have you been doing? I'm like, I've not been doing anything, you know, because it hurts. And he's like, yeah, you need to be doing stuff. You need to be moving. You need to put, you know, weight on your back. And he kind of like went into this like intense deal. And as he was saying all this, I was like, that all sounds like a terrible idea. Like, did you not hear? I'm in pain, man. I'm struggling. You want me to put weight on my back? He's like, yeah, you need to rebuild and restore these muscles and all this. And, you know, I was like, look, you went to Harvard, but I went to Cleveland State. All right? That's the Harvard of Northeast Ohio. Any Vikings out there? Amen. Yes, you know it, Rob, you know it. It's a, you know, maybe other than Case Western and BW and some of these other, it's a Harvard of East 22nd. But what he was saying is that, you know, you've got to do something hard to get the ease that you want on your body. And today I want to talk about that. I want to talk about how God calls us sometimes to do hard things because they're actually the pathway to blessing. And sometimes in our life, our greatest challenges are the comfort in the ease in the wrong ways that we create in our lives. And believe it or not, people who are religious or irreligious, they all believe this. There's a great book out there called The Comfort Crisis by Michael Easter, The Comfort Crisis. Some of you, you probably really enjoy reading it, but what he says in that is that we need to make life harder on ourselves so it can be easier in the long run. And he talks about all these different ways, and it's really helpful. But one of my favorite quotes I want to share with you, it says, hard choices, easy life. Easy choices, hard life. I think there's a lot of wisdom in that. It's hard, you know, to take care of your health, to exercise, that's all hard. But that creates a lot of ease later on. Amen? It's hard. Budgeting's hard. We got this great Financial Peace University class going on, helping to give tools to do that, because it's hard to do, but having a sense of not living paycheck to paycheck and not having all these financial worries, man, that's a better way, amen? And what we decide to make hard in our life and what we decide to make easy in our life determines a lot about the quality and direction of our life. You with me on this? And God's given us this unique opportunity in our lives to decide. He puts it in our hands. He says, what are you going to do with this? What are you going to make easy? What are you going to make hard? So I want to look at 1 Corinthians 9. We've been looking through this book, and we've been learning from the Apostle Paul about all these different ideas, and I want to continue looking through it. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. Here's what Paul says. For though I'm free from all, I've made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. You got all that? To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel that I may share with them in its blessings. Now, let me just summarize what Paul's saying there. He's saying, you know what? You know what I live for? I live to help other people know God. That's what he's saying. And he's saying, however I can make it easier for people to know and experience God through my life, I do it. I take away every obstacle I can, so that people would know Christ. And Paul's so driven to this because Christ changed his life. And I know many of you are sitting here and you're like, man, I get exactly where Paul's coming from. The best thing that ever happened to me was God coming into my life, was God making himself known. And you know that when that becomes clear and real in your life, all of a sudden, you can't just keep it to yourself. You want it to come through you. And this is Paul's heart in these verses. And so he's saying, man, I'm working at this. I'm diligent at this. I want to make it easy for people to know Christ. But then look at this part. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? You're either first or you're last. Sorry. So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I don't run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself would be disqualified. So he's saying, I want to make it easy for people to know Christ, but here's what I have to make hard. I have to make my own journey a journey of self-discipline, of self-restraint, and of self-control. And that's a hard path to walk on. But Paul said, it's worth it. Now, today I just want to talk about three things. I want to talk about the race that Paul's talking about, because all of us, whether we know it or not, we are in a race too. I want to talk about what to make easy and what to make hard. So the race, what to make easy and what to make hard. Now, let's talk about this race first. Paul says, we're all running a race. And today you might not know it, but you are running a race. You're living your life. And I want you to know that your race matters tremendously. It is of infinite and eternal importance. Your life matters. Now, I know that sometimes life is hard. I know people are mean. I know things are tough. And it's easy to start to believe the lie that our life doesn't really matter. It's easy to start to believe those thoughts that says, you're not really important. No one really cares about you. And I just want you to know that nothing could be farther from the truth. Your life matters. And your life matters to a whole lot of other people that you may not even realize your life matters. And sometimes in life when we feel left out, like we feel that unnoticed, it can get hard to believe these things. Have you ever realized you missed an invite? That ever happened in your life? Or is that just me? You can just lie to me, make me feel better about myself. But I was talking to a buddy, and he's like, hey, I'll see you Monday night. And I was like, Monday night? No, I got, what are you talking about? He's like, you know that thing Monday night, didn't you get invited to that? And I said, no. And he said, oh, I thought for sure you would. I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then the best thing, he said, oh, well, this is awkward. And I said, yeah, it is. And we ended the conversation, because where do you go after that? Where do you go? How do you recover? You just move on. Church, I wish I could tell you that was the first time that that's happened to me. But it's starting to become a more prominent theme in my life. You know what it's like to be left out, but here's what I want you to know. God has picked you. The Almighty God has created you. He has picked you. He has called you. Whether you acknowledge it or not, it doesn't change the truth of that. You're called by God. You're chosen. And you have a race. Your life, God wants to do something so special. He wants to glorify his name through you. Paul said, God picked me. And if you know the story of Paul, we don't have time to go into it. But Paul was running the exact opposite way from God. And God said, Paul, nope, not anymore. You're switching teams, and I'm going to use your life. And he did that very thing. Now, every race that is meaningful has two qualities to it. It is painful and it is difficult. If you run any type of race that's meaningful, it's painful and difficult. And the race of your life and my life is going to be painful and difficult. Sometimes we get in seasons of life and it's tough. And we're like, we start to panic because we're like, it shouldn't be this way. Well, it's hard. It's tough. It's painful. Shouldn't everything be easy? Shouldn't everything not be painful? And I just want you to know that is part of the race. But here's the good news. God has purpose in your pain. And in the difficulty, if you'll invite him into it. That there is not an ounce of pain and hurt and difficulty in your life that gets wasted by God. God will use that to develop you, to glorify his name, to fulfill his eternal purpose. You with me on this? And I think part of our race is learning how to have a new relationship with pain and difficulty. Here's the deal. If you stop doing things because they're painful and difficult, you'll never get to where God wants you to go. If as soon as we meet pain and difficulty, we're like, I'm out, guess what, church? You will always sell your race short. Because it's through the hard times, that's where it matters. That's where the real growth and transformation comes. Anyone can follow God when life's going exactly as they want it to go. But the person that follows God when everything is collapsing around them, that person develops a new strength of soul. That person glorifies God in a unique way. That person enters into a deeper level of transformation by the Spirit of God. You with me on this? And we can't miss those moments in our life. I've always, you know, I've recognized in my life that I can only see the challenge of stress, you know? I only think about stress just in all its most negative ways, you know, oh man, I'm stressed out, this is, and I don't like it, but But here's what I'm beginning to realize. Stress, when we go through it with God, it creates strength in us. And there is no strength without stress. If you don't stress your body, it's not going to grow stronger. Right? And the person who works out, God bless you, I'm not that person right now. I need to be the, but the person who works out, what are they doing? They're voluntarily stressing their body. Why? So it grows stronger. And our souls function the same way. And so some of the pain and some of the difficulty, by God's grace, it's not to hurt you, but to strengthen you. You with me on this? And the race is difficult, and we have to do it with God's help. My daughters, Emmy and Abby, they're 5 and 2. You know, they're always trying to open something or move something or do something. And they both have this saying that I think is really cute. Kind of think like almost all that they do is cute, except when they're screaming and hollering, you know. But you know, they'll be doing something and they'll just be like, I can tell they can't do it. They're giving their best. And they're like, Dad, it's hard to do. Daddy, this is hard to do. And they always have like this very serious look on their face. You know, they furrow their eyebrows. Daddy, this is hard to do. And when they say that, how do you think that affects my heart? I'm like, well, tough luck, girls. You better hope mom is home today. No, I'm like, I want to help them. You know, it pulls me in. They already got me wrapped around their fingers, you know? I'm done for. But it pulls on my father's heart. Now, here's the deal. When your race and when your life is painful and difficult, what do you think God looks to you and feels and thinks? When your race is painful and difficult and you're like, Lord, because, hey, is it fair to say life is hard to do sometimes? Life is hard to do. Relationships are hard to do. Trying to walk with God is hard to do. There's a lot of really important parts of our life. They're hard to do. And when that happens, and when you open your heart and you just kind of put that out there, what do you think God's disposition towards you is? I think he's looking and saying, well, figure it out. Well, no, he's leaning in. He's leaning in towards you. He wants to help you. And we're meant to go through this race, not in our own strength, but relying on him. And your race, it matters not just for you, but for what God wants to do through you as well. And Paul says, we're in a race. And he says, here's what I want to make easy in this race. Here's what I want to make easy. I want to make it easy for people to know and experience Jesus Christ through my life. Paul says, in my race, it's not just about me. And if you're a follower of Jesus today, your race is not just about you. It's about what God wants to do through you. And your race is going to strengthen and bless and start other people's races. And that's all part of God's design. And Paul says, I want God to be able to use my life to help other people. And I believe that this is a church full of people with that same ambition. I believe that this is a church that you're here because you're like, yes, God, use my life. God, glorify your name. God, I want to be part of something that's bigger than me. And I think that's why you're here. And Paul says, I want God to be able to work easily through my life. Do you have like any friends or family where to get them to do anything, you pretty much have to drag them kicking and screaming? You got anybody like that? Like if you're going to get them out, you know, like it's going to be by kicking and screaming. And you love them and you want them there. But you're like, oh, man, to get them to do it is a fight. Anybody? And do you ever think that maybe sometimes we're like that with God? God's like, I want to use you. I want to do something. But, man, you're making this way too hard. And what if we made it easy? We say, Lord, I just trust you enough that wherever you want me to go, however you want to use my life, I'm not going to fight you kicking and screaming. Because I know that you're good. I know that you're wise. I know that you're for me. And I'm going to make it easy. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying, I want the gospel to flow through my life easily. Let me just give you a couple thoughts on how to do that. Number one, if you're a follower of Jesus today, I want to encourage you to pray for someone in your life that God would use you to help them know Christ. It's very simply, just pray. Say, Lord, I just pray that you would bless this person, that you would draw them near to you, and that, Lord, if you want to, that you would use my life in some way, whether small or big, to help them. I would encourage you to do that. Sometimes we just skip right over that, and that part is so important. And I want you to just imagine this for a second. There's going to come a day for all of us when this race on earth is over, and we're going to stand before our Master, our Lord. And I want you just to picture this in your mind. God just saying to you, saying, hey, son or daughter, I want to show you something. And he opens up some cool door, because everything has to look cooler there, I think. And out come just a group of people. And they're like, hey, I just want you to know that time you invited me to church, God used that. And someone else says, hey, that time where we were in the corner cubicle at work and you prayed and it was kind of awkward, God used that. And someone else is going to say, hey, that time where you're just real vulnerable with me and you shared what your faith meant to me in just a very simple way, God used that. And all these people looking you in the eye and saying, thank you, because God used your life to bring me to himself. Wouldn't that be a cool scene? And let's pray that God uses our life that way. Now, there's a lot in these verses that we don't have time to talk about, but let me just give you one other idea that Paul says. And in 1 Corinthians 8, he makes this part really, really clear, but he says that being maturing in our walk with God, maturing in our Christian faith, is not a matter of knowing more. It's a matter of that knowledge making us able to love people more like Christ loves us. Now, this is a very important thing to keep in mind, that growing in Christ, if it's starting to make me spiritually arrogant or sort of looking at people with maybe a little air of condemnation, a little air of, you know, oh man, a little air of judgmentalism, anything like that, Paul's saying we're missing what it means to mature in our relationship with Christ, that the more mature my soul is, the more able I'm able to love people, and I'm able to do it in a way that sometimes sacrifices what's comfortable and the freedom that I have. And he has this great line. He says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And sometimes if you've been a follower of Christ for a while, we can start to let all of that make us less loving. Have you ever met someone who's been a Christian for a long time, but they're not loving at all? Maybe they're a bit jerkish. That's a word. You know, maybe they're. And Paul said that you're missing the point. You're misunderstanding what that really looks like to be healthy and mature. So here's the application for us. How can we give more grace to the people in our lives? How can we be more gracious in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions? I think, do you know what our world needs? It needs more grace. And you know where I think that's meant to come from? It's meant to come from us. If you're a follower of Christ, you're part of the solution. And as much as we can extend, Paul calls us to extend that, to build bridges to people, not walls. You with me on this? That's part of what we're called to do. So he says, I want to make that easy. And then this last part, what he wants to make hard. He says, I want to make it hard to lose my race. And he talks about this in a couple different ways. He says, all the runners run, but only one wins the race. So run to win. Here's what he means by making it hard. Everybody wants to win. But not everyone is willing to discipline themselves to win. There's a big difference there. Every athlete, they show up, they want to win the game. Every sports team, they show up, they want to win the game. Paul says that's not what really matters. Everybody's got the same goals. Winners and losers have the same goals. What's the difference? Who has the discipline to win? Who's willing to do it when it's before the game, and they put the work in, and they put the hours in. And while other people were slacking, they were in the gym getting after it. Paul says, that's what matters. And he says, in my race, I have more than the desire to win. I have the discipline to win. And I wonder if some of us in our Christian journey were in a bit of a comfort crisis. I wonder if some of us were, we have the desire to win, and Paul's like, that's great. But show me the discipline to win, because that's what matters. And for some of us, we want God to use our lives. We want to glorify his name. We want to grow. That's awesome. We want to love our spouse and family better. Good. Don't lose that. But here's what else you need. The discipline to make those desires real. And that's hard. That's hard. But that's the right kind of heart. That's the heart that gets us to where we need to go. And Paul says, and you know what? What I really watch is that I have these unhealthy appetites in my life. And I try to bring them under control. He says, I discipline my body. He says, literally, I give it a black eye. And I bring it. I wrestle it under control. You know what the most difficult thing that we face in our journey is us. You know, the person you need to worry about most in your life is the person you see in the mirror every morning. That's who we really need to worry about. It's the unhealthy drives. And so here's what Paul says. And I think this is so powerful. He says, my spirit controls my body. My body doesn't control my spirit. And this is the key. The spirit is willing, Jesus says. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Have you ever been motivated? Of course you have. Have you ever been motivated like, I'm going to get up early today, and before work, before school, before the kids are up, I'm going to work out. I'm going to read. I'm going to pray. And then early came. The spirit was willing. And the flesh said, it's warm under these covers. And who won? The body. Do you ever just kind of in your spirit, you're like, you know what? I'm going to get healthier. I'm going to eat good. And then your niece has a birthday party. And you go there. This is for instance. It's just for example. And then I'm going to eat healthy. And then you go there, and then there's a table of crumble cookies. Like a whole table of crumble cookies that are free. I don't know if you ever tried to buy those things before, but you basically got to get a second mortgage on your house. And there's a table of them. But your spirit said, I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to build momentum. But your body said, but they're crumble cookies. Every flavor under the sun. And who wins? Who wins? I think there's exceptions to this, though, don't you? I mean, crumble cookies. Here's what Paul's saying. Does the body control the spirit, or does the spirit control the body? What we need to get God's help on is helping our spirits to control our body. If your body controls your life, it's going to hurt your race. It's going to hurt your relationships. It's going to hurt the potential that God has. Because our bodies all have unhealthy appetites. There's unhealthy appetites in all of us, and it's beyond food and sleep. It can be ego and praise and comfort, and it can extend to all of those things, and it does. And Paul says, at the end of the day, I want my spirit to lead the way so that I can serve God in the way that he's calling me to do. And so Paul says, after preaching to others, I make sure that I'm not disqualified from the race myself. In other words, Paul says, I'm living what I preach. It's hard to strive to be an example in life, isn't it? I think, you know, as my kids get older, I think, man, I want to be an example for them. You know, and I think about things, you know, in this early parenthood journey. I'm like, when am I going to let them have a cell phone? And right now I'm thinking 25. Is that, amen? Yeah, parents. But then I'm thinking, I'm like, all right, Chet, speed of the leader, speed of the team. If you don't want them to be too consumed in an unhealthy way with technology, then you need to model that. And sadly, many times I'll be on my phone and the girls will be like, Dad, put your phone down. Like, ooh, that hurts. You're like two, you know? I'm not setting a good example for you, you know? But yet, what is most powerful in life? It's not what we say. It's what we show with our lives, isn't it? I think we're the type of people, most of us probably say, hey, talk is cheap. Show me. Things are caught more than they're taught. And Paul says, I know that. And I'm trying to live a life that shows I believe what I'm preaching. When you and I, when we decide to live a life that reflects what we believe, there's few things more powerful than that. And people will see it. It'll be caught. People will be moved by it. When not that you have to be perfect, not that you can't, of course you're going to mess up, of course you're going to fail, but when people say, hey, this, God is real to this person. Christ means something to this person. They're not perfect, but they're in pursuit of him. I'll tell you what, church, that's going to move people. That is going to honor God in a special way. It's hard to do. You got to keep your standards high. You got to keep challenging yourself. But I think it's worth it. Amen? Now, here's the good news. All of this race, it's not all up to you, and it's not all up to me. We don't have to live with the pressure of having to get it all right. One of my favorite stories of all time, so you might know this, but it's about these two runners in an Omaha race, a race that was in Omaha. And the one runner, his name was Bill Rogers, and he was a famous runner during this time, you know, very successful, big name in the running world, and he was going to kind of show up to this race and just be an encouragement, do it sort of for fun. You know, he was obviously going to win it. This guy was a professional runner, and you know, he was going there for PR and that sort of thing and to encourage them. And there was another guy that entered the race, and his name was Bill Broadhurst. And he was not a professional runner. In fact, he actually had a stroke, and the left side of his body never fully recovered. So running was very difficult for him. But he deeply admired Bill Rogers, was one of his heroes, and he thought, you know what, I need to keep pushing myself, and I want to do this race. And it's cool because my hero is going to be there. And so the race started, and as you would expect, Bill Rogers won the race. Just no problem, no competition, won it easily, got the gold medal. Bill Broadhurst, however, the race was really, really difficult. And he thought he could do it a little faster than was playing out. And His left side was hurting more than he thought it would. And just his body was not cooperating. But he's like, but you know what? I'm just going to see it through. And as the race went on, people began to pass him. Then more people began to pass him. Then he realized, okay, everybody has passed me. He saw it a good way to go. And then finally, all of a sudden now, cars were coming on the court. He's like, okay, this is really not going well. But I just have it in my spirit to finish. And so he finally just grueled himself toward the end. He saw the finish line, and he could tell, you know, it had all been cleaned up, and everybody had kind of gone home and gone on their way because it had taken him so long. And he crossed the finish line, and then all of a sudden, out of the corner of his eye, he saw a crowd come. And in the front of the crowd was Bill Rogers with his gold medal. And Bill Rogers took the gold medal off his neck, and he put it on Bill Broadhurst. And he said, "You're the real winner today." Now, church, that is a beautiful picture of what Christ does for you and me. Your race, you'll never win. This race of life, we can never win. We just drag through it in pain, in difficulty. But here's what I want you to know. The race has already been won. Jesus Christ has won it for you. And Jesus Christ puts the medal on your neck and my neck. And here's what the medal looks like. It looks like this. Your sins are forgiven. You're loved. You're accepted. You're reconciled to God. You stand in my favor and my blessing. And because of that, we can run our race not with fear, but with gratitude and love because of Jesus Christ. You can run your best without all the pressure. You can run your best in your race saying, I'm giving my best because Christ already won all of this. And what a powerful thing. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We pray, Lord, today that we could live from a place of your victory. Father, all of us, we were in our smaller race. You've already won the big race. We're in, Lord, our season of life, and for some of us, maybe it's really difficult, maybe it's really painful, maybe for others it's a good season, but whatever it is, Lord, I pray that we could live from your strength. I pray we could live from your victory. I pray we could live from your affirmation and your acceptance. And I pray, Lord, because of all that, we could run our race better. Lord, because of that strength, because of that blessing, because of your presence, we could just take seriously all the things in our life that are slowing us down and saying, I'm fighting against these things. I'm eliminating them from my life because I'm in pursuit of something more important. And I pray, Lord, through each and every one of our lives that Christ would be glorified. Lord, for those of us who just think, oh, God could never use me, I pray that we would know for sure that you can. And I pray we'd be open to it. For those, Lord, who you're just working powerfully through, Lord, help us just to submit and trust and give our lives more fully to you so you can glorify your name more. Wherever we're at today, Lord, meet us in that. Bless us. Help us. Strengthen us. In the great name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.